Just before I start, can everyone just close their eyes? If that's all good. I just believe that just even as we kick off right this evening, that God wants to impact our lives. And just as I was praying there, I just believe that, you know, usually we wait till the end of the service of this, but I'm really believing tonight that God wants to extend an invitation for people, to daughters and sons that have been away from Him, for them to come back even right now tonight. And as you're just closing your eyes, I just want you to think about your life now, the future. I just want you to think about, in the perspective of eternity, that one day we're all going to stand before God. And Jesus extends an invitation to all of us. And He demonstrated this so perfectly when He sent His Son, when God sent His Son to this planet 2,000 years ago. And we're about to celebrate this at Christmas. But His whole mission was to come and seek and save those who were lost. And we just sung this awesome song that He's still saving. He's still doing this impossible thing of taking people from darkness and bringing them into light. And tonight, I just believe that maybe you're here and this is the first time you've been to church. Maybe you've been here before. Maybe you've been in church before, but you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. It is the best decision you'll ever make. And it's just the beginning of a journey of saying yes to Him. Tonight, I just want to give you a simple invitation to just say yes to Jesus. If you're in this place and you've never had a personal relationship with Him, tonight's a night to make this awesome decision. Maybe you've even been around church, or you've known about God, but you've never known Him personally. You've never experienced the forgiveness of your sins. You've never experienced the peace and just the purpose that He brings into your life. Well, tonight, He stands here and He gives us an invitation. And if you're here tonight and you fit in one of those categories, I want to pray for you and include you in a prayer of salvation. It's a prayer of saying yes to Him. So just as everyone's reflecting on their life, if that's you, if you want to come back to Jesus, come back right now at this Christmas time, if that's you, would you do one thing? Would you raise your hand? Would you raise your hand and say, I want to invite Jesus into my life. I want my sins to be forgiven. That day when I stand before Him, I want to know that I'm right with God. If that's you across this place, if there's anyone, just one person that wants to say yes to Him, tonight's your night. You don't have to leave here not knowing God. You can meet Him right now in this moment. He can come in, He can start this transformation process in your life. Anyone, just before we continue on, want to say yes to Jesus? That's awesome. Anyone else? See, He constantly gives us an invitation. And it takes courage to put our hand up, but it is the beginning of a journey. Anyone else, just before we go on? Why don't we all pray this prayer together? We've had one person that's put their hand up. Why don't we all pray this prayer together after me? God, I give You my life. Thank You for forgiving my sin. And tonight I choose You. Out of all the things I could choose, tonight I choose You. I thank You for coming to this planet and dying on the cross. And tonight I declare to spend the rest of my life following You. Amen. How good's that? Do you know right now just the angelic beings in heaven are just going ecstatic? They're just celebrating even if one person makes that decision for Him. And it is the best decision you can ever make, is saying yes to Jesus. I'm going to kick on here. If I can have the two strongest blokes to come up and lift that table up on the stage, that would be great. We've got one. Anyone want to arm wrestle Jason? No, all right. You right, boys? Dan, you might need a... This is the last appearance of the fish tank. We're finishing up this series called Creating Environments. And we're looking at this parable of the sower that Jesus said to a large crowd 2,000 years ago. And it's so profound. It's when I keep thinking about this, I'm so excited to be looking at this as a church, as we're studying this, because Jesus actually said that this is the cornerstone parable. If we can understand this, if we can see what Jesus was talking about here, it helps make everything else make a lot more sense. And so, for those that haven't been here for the last couple of weeks, I'm going to summarize really quick. But I encourage you to read this parable. I encourage you to read this we're looking at it in Matthew chapter 13. So I'm going to go really quick. Jesus told a story, abstract, unique, weird story called a parable. And he said there was a farmer that went out and sowed, threw some seed on the ground. And this seed ended up falling into four different environments. And later on, Jesus tells us that the seed illustrates the word of God. The seed represents the word of God. And that can be the audible voice of God. That can be a prophetic word that someone has from God over your life. That can be just God speaking to you. That can be one of the promises in the Bible that relates to you. It can be a desire that God puts in your heart, is this word of God, this seed that is distributed. And the seed falls onto four different environments. Now, those environments depict the condition of our heart. These environments that he's talking about is actually the condition of our hearts. And these seeds find their way into four environments. The first week we spoke about the path or the hard ground where the seed was. And we spoke about the fact that that seed is vulnerable, it's exposed. And in that state, it is vulnerable for the enemy to come, or the birds to come and remove the seed, for the enemy to come and remove the thing that God has spoken into our life. And the safest place that seed can be is deep down within our heart. And we do that by practical application. We do that by putting legs to this very thing that God has spoken to us. Last week, we spoke about the second environment, which was the gravel, which was the rocky soil. We spoke about the fact that the seed that lands in that environment, the root doesn't have the ability to go down deep. So when the sun comes up, the very thing that plants need to survive, it actually kills them that do not have a deep root. This is profound. It actually kills them rather than letting the sun actually accelerate their growth. It actually kills them. And it says that opposition comes because of the word, because of the thing that God has spoken to us. So rather than letting the opposition that comes, the persecution, the troubles, because of the word, rather than letting that destroy us, we can actually turn around to help it accelerate our growth. Who's had some opposition this week? Anyone? No, we're all good. It will come. Troubles, opposition, persecution will come because of that thing we've said yes to. And that moment we say yes to something, it's like we're attracting opposition and persecution to come. The third environment that we're talking about tonight is thorns, where the seed finds itself in an environment of thorns and weeds. And I've done my best here to pull out some weeds and plant them in here. And if you see in the back, there is actually a flower. It's a really nice flower. It's a white flower. And I trust you can all see that. It's like about there. It's in amongst these thorns, but it is there. Three weeks ago, I was talking about one of the frustrations I have, and I've got many, but one of them is this thought, or this, maybe it's a bit of a fear or an agitation or a frustration, whatever it is, but it's this thought that God has said profound things over my life, and I'm sure He has over your life. We read countless promises in the Bible that relate to us. So this word of God or this seed is not lacking in our life. But on that day I stand before Him, I have this frustration or this, maybe it's a fear, but I don't want to stand before God and just empty my pockets full of seed and give them back to Him. It's a concern that I have because He's given me the seed right now and it's up to me to create an environment where this thing can grow. It's up to all of us to create this very thing that God has put in our life, spoken to our life, to create such an environment that we're not giving Him back seed, but we're giving Him back fruit. Because He's looking for fruit. And who knows that it takes a while for a seed to become fruit, to bear fruit. And I guess this is, and oftentimes I've got around people and I've shared with them these amazing things that God has said over my life. And we seem to celebrate that, we get excited about that, but I was thinking, and what challenged me so much about this series is, what if I put as much energy into creating an environment for this seed to grow than I do getting excited and celebrating about the seed itself? Because the area of responsibility that I have is to create an environment for this seed to grow. And when you stand before God, whenever that is, I want you to be able to stand before God and say, God, you put this on my life and I'm giving you back fruit for that. I put the seed in an environment where it could grow and now look at the outcome. So here we find ourselves in the third week, the last week of this series, talking about this environment of the thorns and the weeds. I'm just going to read the one verse that relates to this soil out of Matthew chapter 13, and it's found in verse 22. And Jesus says this, He says, "The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, choke it, making it unfruitful." It's interesting that the soil here is perfect. The soil in this environment is perfect. We saw in the first environment, the path, that there was a problem with the soil. A path is not a conducive matter for seeds to grow. We saw in the second environment, the gravel and the rocks, that there was a problem with the material, the soil. But here in this third environment, we see that the soil is perfect. We know that the seed is always perfect, but here we see the soil perfect. And I believe that this environment that Jesus is talking about, this probably closest relates to all of us here in the culture and the society and the Western church that we're in. You know, I'm sure that there's seasons in our life where we have hard hearts as depicted in the first environment or the first soil. I'm sure there's times where we have hearts that are like rocky ground that don't allow the seed of the root of what God has said to go down deep. But I really believe that this third environment is where we often find ourselves, where we often struggle against, and which is great, we're talking about it tonight. So here we have these thorns and these weeds. I think this might be nut grass, I'm not sure, but it's a pretty ordinary weed. And the thing with this is that the soil is perfect. So as you can see, the little plant in the back that's got a lovely white flower, it's powering along. But all of a sudden, there's other seeds that land in the soil. And before long, the soil that is perfect is still perfect in nature, but all of a sudden, these weeds, these thorns, start to suck the nutrients of the soil. So that our little fella, our little white plant here, our little flower, it's got no juice to suck. It's all by itself. It's struggling. It's getting starved of nutrients. All of a sudden, these weeds and these thorns start to grow up around it, and it can no longer have the effects of the sun and the rain and this type of thing. And all of a sudden, it's struggling. It's being choked. Remember, the soil is still perfect, but our little friend here is being choked. And here Jesus says, he says, this is like the condition of the heart where the word of God is implanted, but because of busyness, worries of the world, deceitfulness of wealth, choke it. Busyness. It's a huge thing in the society that we're living in. Because everything is trying to grab our attention. We have information coming to us 24/7. Busyness. Now, I'm not talking about a busy schedule, but I'm talking about busyness of our heart. And there's a big difference because oftentimes we blame burnout onto people that have busy schedules, but I seem to think that it's probably more because they had a busy heart. See, Jesus probably had the busiest schedule of anybody. He had crowds pushing around him. He had constant demands on his time, on his resources, on everything around him. Yet, his heart was singly focused. He had a peace inside. Jesus had a busy schedule, but yet he had one purpose. He had an undivided heart. So that's what I want to talk about with this. I believe that this is what Jesus is talking about in this third environment. And I believe it's so relevant for us, especially as youth and young adults living in the day we are today. You just imagine for a second if your great-great-great-grandma had passed down an exotic plant through the generations and all of a sudden it ends up with you. This is an exotic plant that is so rare, worth so much money, and all of a sudden it comes in your possession. And because all these people, these generations that have gone on before you, because all these people were obsessed with plants and this type of thing, you're feeling the weight to keep this damn thing alive, yeah? So this gets passed on to you, and now it's up to you to get this seed growing, to get this exotic plant growing, and so that you can pass this on. You can imagine if you've got this seed or you've got this succulent, you'd take it home, you'd put it in good soil, you would create a greenhouse around it. While it's young, you would create an artificial environment around it so this thing can grow to its potential. So that the factors and the influences that aren't good for it aren't going to affect this little plant that you so need to keep alive. And oftentimes, God gives us a word, and I'll use the same illustration as the previous weeks. Maybe God is impressed upon your heart that he wants to use you in the whole area of worship and leading people into worship. He's put this calling on your life for worship. And all of a sudden, we've got this word from God, and it's growing in our life, but it's such a little plant. And oftentimes, we, rather than creating a greenhouse, rather than creating an environment where this thing can be nurtured and grow, we just allow everything to come and do whatever it wants in our little patch of garden. You imagine if you had this little plant that had been passed down to you. You're giving it some water. You're giving it a bit of fert. You're doing all the right things. You've got it in a greenhouse. You imagine if you invited some friends around and they just come and they just saw this little plant here and they decided they just thought it was the dance floor and they start jumping up and down on it. They start dancing around on this plant. Maybe they need to go to the toilet and they have a pee on your plant. It's like, come on, dude. What's going on here? You've come into my house, you're destroying the very thing that I'm trying to nurture. But so often we do that with the very thing that God has given us. We just open it up for anything to come in and have influence in our life, in our heart. Now it's interesting here that these weeds or these thorns, they're simply other seeds. They're simply other voices. Remember, we have the seed that God gives us, which is the Word of God. These weeds, these thorns, they're simply other voices. And oftentimes we're creating this environment where this seed can grow and we're just opening our heart up for other voices to come and affect the growth and the health of this seed. You know, maybe God's spoken to your life and, you know, you just feel that God's going to use you powerfully to see sick people be made well. You're going to see he's just put this on your heart to go after this stuff. And all of a sudden you say yes to that, you're excited, and all of a sudden another voice will come in. Maybe it's a voice that says, well, what about the person that's died? What about the person that's sick and they never got better? See, these are all voices. These are all seeds that arrive in our hearts, and it's up to us. We've got the responsibility to create an environment where we can protect the very thing that God has put in our life, in our heart. And oftentimes we just allow, because we're not even aware of what effect this is having on what God has said, we just throw the doors wide open and we just allow anybody, anyone to come in and say things in our life. And they're all different voices that start to plant themselves in our heart, that start to choke the very thing that God has said. Like I said in the first week, God has so been speaking to me and is challenging me so much. There was a series of events where the whole parable of the sower has been so profound to me, but especially this whole deal with this environment, this third environment, the thorns, the busyness, the divided heart. And you know when God speaks to your life and He puts His finger, He brings something to your notice. It's like He smacks you over the head with a baseball bat, like really hard, but it feels so good at the same time. Who's ever felt that? And you know it must be God because it says the truth will set you free. So it's actually at the same time you've just been hit so hard in the head, but it feels so good. That was a bit like my experience. And there was a certain events that kept happening and God kept speaking to me about my divided heart and how I'd let the very thing that God had spoken to me, I'd open the door for other things. The soil was good, but I'd let these other things come and grow in my heart. And they were wrapping themselves around the very thing that God had said and choking the life out of this perfect, powerful seed. You know, every word that God speaks to us has the same DNA that Jesus had when he was risen from the dead. It's pretty powerful. It's the creative geniuses that God has. He gives everything in that seed the same power. The DNA is in that seed to bring transformation from the inside out. But even though that seed can be so powerful, even though the soil can be perfect, if we don't somehow limit what we are allowing to come and grow in our hearts, it becomes useless. I've got this 2 weeks in a row. Josh has posted these quotes, and they've both been pretty much what I've been about to speak on the next Sunday. So, Sammy, if you can everyone read that? This is from Brian Johnson. Whatever steals your fire, throw it away. Whatever steals your fire, throw it away. Now, when I first read that, I thought, that's a great quote. And then I started to think about my own life. And then I was thinking, maybe it's not so good. But it's a great quote, but it's pretty confronting. When we actually stop and think about what this is saying, whatever steals your fire, throw it away, destroy it, it's pretty confronting. And this part of the parable, this part of the story that Jesus told is confronting. Because your heart can be full of weeds, but you can still go to heaven. Your heart can be full of distractions, it can be full of busyness, and you can still go to heaven. So this environment is not dealing whether you get to heaven or not, it's actually dealing with whether you bear fruit or not. So if you're here tonight and you're like, man, my sole purpose is just to scrape into heaven, I'm not worried about bearing any fruit, then this is probably not for you. Because Jesus is actually saying, if you want to know the deeper meaning of this, it's for people that are generally wanting to find the truth. And this environment is actually dealing with those that want to bear fruit. Those that want to bear fruit. Whatever steals your fire, throw it away. It's pretty confronting, eh? Very confronting. Whatever steals your fire, throw it away. I'd like to make a slight change to this quote. And if Brian was here, of course I wouldn't do it. But he's not here, so... I believe that we should live in such a way, if we want to bear fruit, that we either need to redefine or remove things in our life. Redefine or remove them. Maybe there's relationships in your life that you've allowed to come in, and for a season, when this plant is still small, you need to create an environment that doesn't allow those relationships in. You know, if I've taken my plant home and I've got it in the greenhouse and there's a bit of time gone and it's a full-grown, mature plant, then it doesn't matter if guests come over and they dance on top of it. It doesn't matter if they pee against it. It's not going to worry this big fella. He's strong enough. He's big enough. But while it's a little plant, while it's a little succulent, we need to create environments and protect the very thing that God has put in our life. And for some of us, it might be relationships. Relationships that don't bring passion, bring fire. Relationships that when we're finished those discussions or we're finished this time with these people or persons, we actually feel further away from God than when we started. Those are the type of relationships for a season that we need to remove or redefine if we want this thing to grow. Whatever steals your fire, throw it away. Wow. We can even look at something like work and say, well, we have to work. We have to earn money. This is part of life, and I totally agree. But how can we redefine our work so that somehow when we're finished the shift or when we're finished that period of work, we're actually closer to God than when we started? You know, I've got a few of the guys that do landscaping with me, and we've got a bit of a thing where we put our headphones in, we listen to worship music. That's what they say. I think it's just so they don't have to listen to me. But how can we define or redefine what we're doing? Maybe we're dealing with heaps of people and that's not possible, but how can we redefine this and have it's not just work, but it's an avenue, it's an environment where we can share the love of Jesus. Rather than work being something that just sits on the side, it actually is part of who we are. It's part of our mission. Whatever steals your fire, throw it away. Maybe there's activities that we're doing in our life that aren't fueling this fire with God. There's not too many shows on TV that I watch, and afterwards I think, wow, that's made me closer to God. It's pretty confronting, isn't it? Once again, this is not whether we get into heaven or not. This is if we're going to bear fruit. Whatever steals your fire, your passion, get rid of it. It's very confronting. It's probably not politically correct to tell people or to encourage people to get rid of crap in their life. TV shows, social media, all this stuff that we often engage and open our lives up to. Is it fueling our passion? Or for a season, do some of us need to say, hang on, I'm actually going to get about growing this thing. So for a season, I need to shut this stuff down. Until this word of God has taken root, until it's mature enough that then I can allow some of this stuff back into my life. Could I get Dan to come up? That'd be great. It so challenged me about this whole thought about the responsibility that I have in the busyness of life. Once again, it's not about having a busy schedule, it's about having a busy heart. A divided heart. Our vision, like Josh said, is to see our community transformed by the love and power of Jesus. Do you know how that's going to happen? It's going to happen with a bunch of people that have an undivided heart. It's going to happen with a bunch of people that make sacrifices, make hard decisions. To say, there's one thing that I'm alive for. And everything else now has to fit in with the mission of my assignment. What measures are we going to take for this thing to grow? Maybe it's our pride. What decisions are we going to make? What are we going to sacrifice to remove this stuff? That didn't work too well. There it is. What is it going to take? What are we gonna sacrifice? Because see, God will always give us choices. He gave us a choice right back in the beginning to choose whether to eat. We know the story of Adam and Eve. There's always choices. There's always two trees in the one garden. And do you know what? We can actually live our whole Christian life full of weeds, choking the very word of God in our life. And God won't come in and rip them out. Because he's given us responsibility to do that. He's given the responsibility for us to create the environment. The Holy Spirit will come and help us, but we've got to take the initiative. We've got to say, God, I can't do this. There's things in my life. We have to actually want to get rid of them. And the interesting thing is that sometimes they're not sin. But yet there are things that are just crowding our life. Things that are just taking our attention. What has God spoken over your life? What seeds do you have that are currently in your pocket that you haven't put in the ground? What seeds have you put in the ground but you haven't shut out other things, other voices? Other voices that would come in to destroy, to strangle, to take the life out of the very seed that God has given us. See, most of us are never, let me paraphrase, most of us right now, we probably don't have a hard heart. We might in some areas, but generally we may not. If God speaks to us, we're going to receive the word. For those here that are genuine in their faith, we want this seed of God. We want the word to go down deep and take root in our heart. But oftentimes it's all this other stuff that comes in. And are we just going to live a life of bearing no fruit because we've allowed other voices, other influences in our life? Whatever steals your fire, whatever steals your passion, throw it away. This has so been challenging me, and it continues to, because naturally, I don't have to grab these fellas and actually plant them. They just arrive, and they start to grow. These weeds, I don't have to intentionally go out and say, I want weeds in my heart. They just arrive. They just come in. A seed just comes in, and all of a sudden, there's something growing, and I look in the mirror, and I say, where did this come from? But I want to have an undivided heart so that on that day that I stand before him, that he will get all the glory and he will get all the praise because my life has been used to bear fruit. Why don't we all stand together? Dan's just going to lead us in this song again. But I just want to encourage you tonight. Maybe you've heard this parable before. And I'm just believing right now that God is touching your heart tonight. That if we're hungry and if we're humble, we would let him speak to us. That we would let this seed actually grow, the very thing that God has spoken to us. That we would make a decision tonight to remove those other voices, those other things in our life, where we spend our time for things that aren't fueling the fire, aren't fueling the passion. That He may start a revolution within us, a transformation within us, that will just go out and affect this community. Amen? Why don't we all pray? God, we thank You tonight. I just thank You even right now as we're standing here, that God, You're speaking to us. I pray that decisions will be made right now that would change the course of history for individuals. That these areas in our life that we haven't borne fruit, that God, that You'd help us make courageous decisions. To exclusively hear Your voice and let Your word sink into our heart. Amen.